KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies and 53 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny and breezy today with a high of 82. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Iowans are being warned about a scam involving the federal government's Affordable Care Act, a large portion of which will launch this week. Con artists are calling homes saying they're ready to send your Obamacare card and all they need is your personal information. Kimberly Hazen with the Better Business Bureau says these are the latest in the long-running string of health care phishing scams.
Just like we get these bogus emails from our so-called credit card company asking for our credit card account, that's a phishing attempt. They're trying to get personal information, glean information from you willingly by posing as somebody official.
And callers may claim they need your Medicare, banking, or personal information to get your coverage. Hazen says it's highly unlikely Medicare or anyone from the federal government is really calling you.
Remember that the government rarely gives us a call. They rarely will email us. They do most of their work through the mail. So when you get a call from somebody saying they're from the government, you really want to do your homework and make sure you know exactly who you're dealing with.
She says the best response to those calls is to hang up or to make some calls yourself to learn more.
Find out what agency they're calling from, then actually get that agency number looked up on your own, you know, via the internet or any government office in the phone book. You want to make sure that you are calling them back on your own.
And if you repeatedly get those types of calls, contact your local authorities or contact the Better Business Bureau at www.bbb.org. News time is 8:02.
Hey, honey, did you remember to record my football game?
No, I got busy and forgot. Why didn't you do it?
You know I have never been able to make the VCR work.
We really need to get the Hopper from Dish. I saw on the TV Store's website that it can record up to 6 things at one time and all in high definition. You can even watch TV on a smartphone or tablet.
I just hate learning new technology.
It is so easy. Even Stacy's husband figured it out.
If this sounds like you, then head down to the TV Store in Atlantic, your locally owned Dish authorized retailer. We do all of our own installations, so you will never have a stranger in your home. We are located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Give us a call at 243-3032 or visit our website at thetvstoreinc.com to check out Dish for your home. Get more from the TV Store. Prices, packages, and programming subject to change without notice. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
Iowa farmers will be able to carry heavier loads of corn, soybeans, and other items for the next couple of months. Governor Terry Branstad signed a proclamation Friday allowing the heavier loads, a move Iowa governors usually take in the fall. The proclamation allows people to haul loads of soybeans, corn, hay, straw, silage, and stover up to 90,000 pounds of gross weight without a permit for 60 days. The temporary allowance doesn't apply to interstate highways, though. The move is intended to help farmers efficiently move their crops after the harvest. At midnight tonight, the temporary extension of the Farm Bill expires. Iowa Farm Bureau President Craig Hill is among the many residents of farm country who are finding it difficult to read the signals of Congress.
I can't tell you whether they will try another extension. We can't support another extension, or whether they'll have a stopgap measure and continue to kick the can down the road.
The most immediate impact of the Farm Bill's demise will come with the October shutdown of programs that promote the sale of U.S. farm commodities overseas. In addition, Hill says the U.S. will be accused of trade violations when it comes to the cotton market and country of origin labeling or COOL.
Both of those could be resolved with the new Reform Bill. Avoid having that. We kind of disrupt our ability to be a good partner in trade, as well as many of our export enhancement programs, market access program, and other programs that will lack funding, and so long-term we will adversely affect our ability to trade.
There is uncertainty for farmers hoping to do conservation projects this fall, like build terraces and fields once the harvesting is done. This comes just as the Iowa Farm Bureau and other groups have begun to urge farmers to take such steps to avoid soil erosion and farm chemical runoff into Iowa's waterways.
Without conservation funding and authorization, the CSP program, the CRP program, a number of the things that we use as stewards won't be availed to us. And we won't be able to plan for those tools, also disrupting our ability to help retain soil and have a safer water supply.
It's hard to put a dollar value on the overall financial impact of the impasse in Congress, but there is one certainty. If Congress doesn't act by January 1st, the price of a gallon of milk is going to more than double. That's because the price supports for milk will revert back to 1949 levels.
On the farm, that means $39 a hundredweight as opposed to $18 a hundredweight today. That will be unacceptable by consumers, and I think politicians will again take notice to that.
If Congress fails to fix the problem, milk prices will rise above $6 a gallon. It was that prospect which helped to lead Congress to pass an eight-month extension of the farm bill last December. And by the way, there are about 12 gallons in a hundredweight gallon of or hundredweight of milk, which is the measurement that dairy farms use when milk is sold. Well, the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division, or ABD, found that 93% of retailers who sold tobacco refused to sell to an underage customer during checks by the division in the last fiscal year. Megan O'Brien, Deputy Director of Administration for ABD, said most of the 3,400 tobacco retailers are checked for compliance each year.
This is only the second time that the compliance rate has been this high, and I think the success of all our education programs and our partnerships are the reason why we've been able to achieve this level of compliance.
The compliance rate hit 93% for the first time in 2010 and has been at 92% in three of the last 5 years. O'Brien says the division works with 193 local law enforcement partners and the Iowa State Patrol to conduct the random compliance checks.
They typically use youth in communities, and the youth develop relationships with law enforcement, and that is part of how the compliance check is done.
Records show that tobacco retailers in the mid-1990s were selling tobacco to minors during 50% of the checks. ABD took over the tobacco enforcement in 2000 and created the Iowa Pledge Program to educate retailers on how to stop sales to minors.
We work really hard to create partnerships and do education rather than immediately, you know, go to the punitive side. We want to have a trust relationship with these retailers, and we want to help them be successful and reduce the number of youth getting access to tobacco products.
Now, smoking is no longer allowed in many public places after the passage of the Smoke-Free Air Act in 2008. And O'Brien says it's a change that has also helped in preventing young people from smoking.
Youth growing up right now can't remember a time when an ashtray was ever inside a restaurant, and it's become less socially acceptable. So that's one piece. The part that we complement there is just that, restricting point-of-sale activities, which helps reinforce the social norm that tobacco usage is not appropriate for youth. So I think the state of Iowa has done a tremendous job in overall tobacco control.
27 of the 99 counties in Iowa had a 100% compliance rate. Included among them are Adams, Fremont, Guthrie, Page, Sac, and Taylor counties. And finally, in state news, Iowa's Ag Secretary is encouraging residents to visit apple orchards around the state. Bill Northey says it's been near-perfect weather for the state's apple trees. He added that growers are reporting apples are maturing a little ahead of normal schedule, so now is a great time to visit a farm. Northey said an orchard visit is also a great way to enjoy the autumn weather and try new varieties of apples that may not be offered at a local grocery store. A list of apple growers can be found on the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship website. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Majority Leader Harry Reid says when senators convene today, they'll reject a House Republican emergency spending bill that also proposes delaying for a year some parts of the health care law. If an emergency spending bill isn't passed by Congress today, the federal government will partially shut down. It'll mean possible delays for people applying for government-backed mortgages, and it would shutter national parks and Smithsonian museums. U.S. stock futures are falling sharply as the Fed is threatened with a partial shutdown. Asian markets closed down today, and European markets are performing lower. The Justice Department says it will sue the state of North Carolina for implementing tough new voting rules. It's the latest effort by the Obama administration to fight back against a Supreme Court decision that struck down the most powerful parts of the landmark Voting Rights Act and freed southern states from strict federal oversight of their elections. The administration says the voter rules discriminate against minorities and students. And authorities have temporarily shut down an art exhibit in Pittsburgh after three visitors fell ill. The room-sized exhibit by Austrian artist Kurt Kenschlager is described as an intense stroboscopic light in combination with thick artificial fog, resulting in a loss of spatial orientation. And before entering, people must sign a waiver. Three people have reported seizure-like symptoms. News time is 8:10.
Honey, don't forget, Jesse from the TV store is coming to install Dish today.
Oh, yeah. When's he going to be here? Between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.?
No, he's actually supposed to be here right... The TV store is your locally owned, authorized Dish retailer. They provide superior customer service and know how to be on time. Jesse and Al are their only installers, so you know who's going to be coming to your house, not some stranger from the city. At the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer, you get all the same deals that you would get by calling the 1-800 number without automated systems or hold times. And yes, they have the hopper. If you're fed up with your current television provider or want to know about the latest technologies Dish has to offer, go check out the TV store, your local authorized Dish retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or give them a call at 243-3032. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
In our funeral announcements, Dennis Scar, age 64 of Earlham, died Wednesday at his home. Services for Dennis Scar will be today at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Susan Hyland, age 71 of Adel, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center in West Des Moines. Services for Susan K. Hyland will be today at 11 o'clock at the Adel United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Larry Ryan, age 71 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. The memorial services for Larry Ryan will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Maxine Bruner, age 91 of Atlantic, died Saturday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. A gathering of family and friends for Maxine Bruner will be held from 10 a.m. until noon on Tuesday, with a lunch to follow, at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Doris Bloom, age 80, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Doris Bloom will be held on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Jerry Walters, age 52, of Atlantic, died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Jerry Walters will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Lorraine Perdue, age 85, of Issaquah, Washington, died September 11th. Memorial graveside services for Lorraine Perdue will be Friday at 10 o'clock at the Griswold Cemetery. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Bernard Keith Cox, senior, age 91, of Tenet, died September 23rd in Omaha. Funeral services for Bernard Cox, senior, will be held this Friday at 11 o'clock at the Altamont Baptist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gregory Faustin, age 67, of Greenfield, died Thursday. Memorial services for Greg Faustin will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Harold Akers, age 82, and Doris Akers, age 79, of Exira, died Friday. Funeral services for Harold and Doris Akers are currently pending at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Maxine Hansen, age 93, of Atlantic, died Sunday. Services for Maxine Hansen are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Nicholas Johnson Reed, age 27, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Services for Nicholas Johnson Reed are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Ramona Richardson, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Sunday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Ramona Richardson are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. The news and funeral announcements brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.